This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is brought to you by Yo Radio, the first music and radio platform with stations curated and managed by artists and influencers from across the globe. From Drake Bell to Megadeth's David Ellefson to UFC star Uriah Hall, just to name a few. Welcome to Yo Radio. Yo Radio delivers the best listener experience and is completely free. From hip-hop to rock to blues to EDM, Yo Radio has the music you want at your fingertips. Download the app now in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Google Play Store for Android. Or just go to YoRadio.com. That's YoRadio.com.
It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go!
The Cardinals there. The Cardinals won the pennant. The Cardinals won the pennant. The Cardinals won the pennant.
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss. The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, coming to you from the patio studios and, of course, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovative Companies. That's Randy and Stephanie Green, the owner and head boss. And we all know that, right? When there's a woman involved, she's the boss. And Randy did a good job telling his daughter there to keep him organized. She does a tremendous job. They're a tremendous second-generation company, 35 years experience, bonded and insured. And, of course, as we always say, Randy's a man of his word, which unfortunately we're losing in today's society. Residential, commercial, or industrial, doesn't matter. We got the construction team, heating and cooling, electric, and now they're happy to make sure everyone knows they can handle all your plumbing needs as well. That's our friends at InnovatedCompanies.com. Sad and excited all in the same breath for today's show because, man, I tell you, it's I'm not sure where we're headed. But the reality of it is anytime I can have in studio my friend and yours, and instead of the M4byYachty.com hotline, let's call it the M4byYachty.com chair, Benji Molina. What's up, buddy?
How you guys doing, man? It's always nice to come over here. I know I don't get a chance to do this much. I should now because I'm coming to St. Louis more often, but it's hard, man. It
depends on your flights, right?
Yes. I mean,
like today you have a later flight, so this works out. And my mom.
My mom cooks for you. And she wants you out there. And it's hard to say no to her. We don't see her much.
Hey, let's face it. Come on. If mom says, what mom says goes, right? I mean, let's be honest.
Yep.
It should be that way. I mean.
It's in our family, that's for sure. I don't know about anybody else, but my mom says something, we all listen. That's for sure.
It is good. You know, I think, again, people think, big ball player, professional athlete. Not one. And again, I say it all the time. I've had the opportunity to see your mom in action. There is absolutely nobody questioning mom in the Molina house. And that's the way it should be, and hats off to you guys for that. To Benji's right in studio our godsend of a friend, Josh Potter, Art City Media. What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
Well, no Steve-O today as he's on vacation. And you know what? It's funny. I need a vacation from the team. I mean, they are, we keep coming back to talk about a roller coaster. I mean, it's funny, Benji, you can't hear it, and we typically don't do it anymore, but, the fans, and we get a ton of messages and people that, that direct message us and send us stuff. Or and, you know, the one thing about the show, let's face it.
I read him, though. I read him and I see him. And
well, the interesting thing is, besides the fact that you're on the show, the second most popular thing on the show is probably our intro. You know, it's hard to listen to that intro and not get goosebumps and get excited. And we very rarely listen to it anymore because typically we're on a time crunch and it's like, okay, let's get going. You know, they'll just put it in later and plus, like, you can't hear it when you're on the line. So it's like we don't even mess with it. And it's like today, Brian, our producer, Brian Crock, says, you guys want music or you want to go right into it? And I think we were all like, let's hear the music and our intro. And it's because, man, right now you need a reason to feel good about this team. And that's how I feel as a fan today. I think at times I try to be – I'm a fan, let's face it, first and foremost, without a doubt. I don't consider myself any type of expert, or I don't consider myself to know that much more than anybody else about the Cardinals. Judging by some of the tweets, I definitely know more than some of you about baseball, and that's a fact, okay? Let's just be realistic here. Some of the stuff I see, people should be embarrassed, the stuff they tweet. It's just unreal. If you tweeted yesterday, why did he walk Freddie Freeman, you need to never tweet again. You walk Freddie Freeman in that situation 100 times and 200 times on Sunday, okay? You do not pitch to Freddie Freeman with a base open. Okay, and one out. You don't do it. All right, next, let's move on. So, all right, that being said, I'm a fan first. And, I mean, I am as disheartened and as, God, I hate to say this, it's hard to watch right now. But that's the problem. I love the Cardinals. It's like a train wreck right now. I can't look away. And it's almost like the old saying has never applied more to my favorite sports team. When it rains, it pours. And Benji, I know you played in the league for, you know, 13 years and you had a whole career, whether it be, you know, in the minors and then you came up 13 years and then you coach and all this. I mean, is that the way it goes sometimes? When it rains, it pours?
It does. I don't know what team you're watching, because a lot of times they go through a lot of stretches. The only thing with the Cardinals is that they go a lot of times instead of just a few in a year. But we discussed this before. We said it. You know, when you have guys struggling in the bottom of the lineup, and when you have a guy that obviously doesn't play first every day, and when you have guys that like Pham that hit 340, 330, 320 last year, and he was doing great things for us. Now he wasn't, you know, for a long period of time. When you have that, and then you have Carp at the beginning of the year who wasn't hitting, now he's picking it up a little bit. More, but you have Wong struggling, and you have Fowler that doesn't even play anymore, which he was used to, needed to be a big part in our club. And then you get pitchers that go down, and you have a inconsistent bullpen that they're picking it up lately, but they are very inconsistent out of the bullpen. That's what you're gonna get. That's why I don't get rattled. I don't get it, because if we had the bullpen of the Yankees, and we're playing this way, and we're giving up the runs, and we're doing all this, then I worry about it. But we didn't have that. We have the inconsistent guys right now. They're not doing their job how they're very capable of doing. So you're going to see streaks like this. It's just very simple. As a player, I don't see it that way. I see it. We lost a series. We got swept. We got killed. Let's go at it again tomorrow. Let's today or the next day. Let's go try to win a series. Let's go battle. Let's go fight. That's the way I see it. But as a fan, it's hard to watch because you don't want them losing, of course. But I understand way much more than most people because I've been there. I've done that. I've gone through. I played with Toronto, where Toronto was facing the East all the time. I mean, I was a battle. And we had battles, but we kept losing. And then we had I went to the Giants where my first 3 years we were losing so many games. So I've been in losing teams, and this is what happened, you know. We didn't have that bullpen set up yet. We didn't have that lineup set up, even though we had a lot of veteran players, but they were struggling, and that's what happened. So when you have those guys doing the way they're doing, you are going to struggle, and that's what you see of the Cardinals. We just hope that they turn it around and they can give you more wins, of course. But hey, right now they need to get away from St. Louis. They need to get away from the Busch Stadium right now and go out, clean mind into Arizona and San Francisco, and let's see what happens, man. I mean, sometimes that helps.
Well, you know, again, Josh, I'll get your thoughts here real quick before we, you know, before we prepare ourselves to really get in deep here on this. But, you know, you're a fan like me. Yeah. You played enough baseball to be dangerous, and you look at this team and, you know, you hate to question effort. You hate to question ability. But, man, at some juncture, this has become a broken record to some degree. Your thoughts as a fan?
Well, as a fan, I feel like, and this is where it's going to start to get hard down the stretch here, where we're getting close to the trade deadline, because I feel like we have the pieces. I feel like we have them, because we've seen the spark out of Pham at the beginning of the year. Now we're seeing Carpenter light it up. We're going to get DeJong back. Where do we have a place for an outside, an external piece to come in and really help this club? I don't. And then we have, you know, the bullpen, who all of them, I feel like, except for minus a few, have shown that they can get the job done. And then the starting pitching, we saw that early on. So I don't want to say we have the pieces, but we've seen it. We've seen it already this year that they can overcome. They've sat there and they took 2 out of 4 out of Milwaukee. They took 2 out of 3 from Cleveland, who's, I mean,
yeah,
in a crap division, but they're a very solid baseball team. So we've seen the pieces perform. Now it's just putting them all together, and that's where I don't know where, and I don't know if it's coaching, I don't know if it's a certain player or a couple of players. They just need to put it together, and that's where the roller coaster is going to continue to ride out.
Well, in the end, as I look at this thing and I'm trying to figure out, okay, you know, where's the real problem here? Okay, I mean, we've talked about the bullpen, right? We've talked about certain players. We've talked about the offense. We've talked about the manager. We've talked about the hitting coach. We've talked about the GM and the ownership. We've went full circle and tried to figure out where this is at the end of the day. The bottom line, though, now is that the team is not performing. The fans are getting restless.
More restless.
More restless. You know, it's funny. You see a lot on social media, people talk about nothing's going to change until the turnstiles stop turning. Well, ticket sales are there, but the turnstiles aren't turning. Now, while the crowds are sometimes good, we see a lot of empty seats at times. And empty seats do not equate into dollars in the Cardinals' pocket. So at the end of the day, they are always going to be concerned about that. Don't think they aren't. Now, from a business standpoint, are the Cardinals doing okay? I would say they probably are. This is not going unnoticed by the guy that probably in the end it really matters the most to, and that's Mo. And if you heard his comments, I heard him this morning on the way in. He's speaking, and I'm wondering, he was really speaking to somebody directly, but I think he was also indirectly speaking to a lot of people. I don't know if you guys had the chance to hear this or not, no. But he has basically said that, you know, and it, what was funny was he basically has laid out that the Cardinal outfield has underperformed drastically. And he has basically said everybody but Ozuna, because he did single out, when you look at center and right field, we have not, you know, with the exception of left field, no matter what we've done in center and right, really hasn't worked out. So he's basically, and he's basically really, and then he really went straight on at Dex.
Now that you bring that up, do you guys remember at the beginning of the season when we felt like we had the best outfield?
Well, and that's what he said. He basically said that. He said, when you looked at the beginning of the year, we thought that was going to be a real strength. He goes, now, and he went right into Dex.
Yep.
And he said, I am sure Dex will tell you that part of this is he's not getting regular at bats, but at the same time, you know, people are not making it easy to give him at bats. He goes, and I'm going to tell you that his effort and hustle has been questioned, and it's hard for me to defend that. So, somebody, there's something going on here, because we all know Mo. We all know how he is. He very rarely shows his cards like this. This is a message. When I come back, I want to know, hearing those comments from a guy that was in the locker room, it's clear he's talking to Dex, but I don't think he's just talking to Dex. So I want to talk to Benji about that and get his thoughts, because when the GM speaks, who's really listening? So that's kind of our question today. Again, I want to get the thoughts from the player on it, because I can't believe when you spent 13 years in the big leagues that the same things didn't happen to you. I think they happen to all players at some juncture, so we're going to find out. When we come back, can't wait to hear that. All right, simple, guys. Check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. It's absolutely free. Do your shopping at Amazon there. We'd greatly appreciate it. Again, you just click the Amazon banner. You're done with us. We get a very small referral. It just helps us. Brian Croc, Andrew Allen do so much behind the scenes for us. It just helps us cover what it costs us to have them do that. Again, to the people that are doing it, thank you. We would appreciate more. It just means a lot to the show. Happy to have you guys be a part of our social media experience. Well, new followers every day. We love it to keep growing it organically. You can find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. If you follow us on Twitter and you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. Facebook, right now, we got the great contest going on. I'm going to let Josh tell you a little bit about what we're doing here. Simple. Go to Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat. Find our Facebook page, like our page. You're not done once you've liked our page, and this is where the contest comes in. Josh, tell them a little bit about what we're doing right now.
So you just go ahead and go to the community side. It says it's like a, I don't know what you, sidebar.
It's a little sidebar on the right.
And it says community, and it says how many of your friends like Two Birds on a Bat with you.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's a little thing there that says invite your friends,
yep.
Right, when you're
and
on the page.
And it says invite your friends. You can invite all. You can go through if you really want to. I mean, I know I have over 1,000 friends on Facebook. Not trying to brag, but, you know, you go in, you can either invite all and just do that, or you can just share the page, say, hey, guys, shoot Two Birds on a Bat alike, and it's really that easy, and you can go through and,
and it says right there how many of your friends like Two Birds on a Bat.
Yep.
So what we're going to do is the contest ends, when's the date it ends?
I believe.
It's at the end of July,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
So before the contest ends, all we're going to want from you is a message to us with a screenshot of how many of your friends like the page, because that shows us that you've liked it. And we now, if you're one of these guys who are like, look, I don't get on Facebook that much. You know what? I'm not going to mess with this. Don't do that, because even if you have 10 friends, okay, that's 10 entries. This isn't a whoever has the most wins. It's you get 10 entries. So if you have 100, you get 100 entries. If you have 1,000, you get 1,000. If you have 10, you get 10. You still have a chance to win an autographed Marcelo Zuna jersey, compliments of Benji Molina, Yadi Molina, and all the gang at m4byyadi.com. We appreciate everything they do for the show. Again, make sure you check out m4byyadi. A lot of cool, man, they are really hitting it. They got some cool gear. I know we had somebody tweet at you that they had their M4 hat on after seeing you with it. So that's really cool. Again, Yadi, I think you all know what Yadi does with the money that he makes from M4. It goes to his foundation. That's how he helps people back home. He helps people in the community. You know, just a ton of different charities that mean a lot to the Molina family. And again, we appreciate everything they do for the show. So again, this contest, of course, brought to you by M4byyadi.com. Thanks to Josh Potter for putting it together. I think it was a great way for us to try to increase our community. So again, Facebook, type in twobirdsonabat.com, like our page. Click invite your friends, invite all your friends. Keep doing it. This is something that you can keep building. And you know how you do that? When you go to our page, share our pinned post. That's the show. And that's how you send that out. And then the people on your page will see it. And when you share it, you can put a little message. Hey, guys, check out Two Birds on a Bat. Like their page. Let's join the community. That's how you do this, guys, and that's how we become a part of it. So thanks, Josh. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Again, we'd love to have you be a part of that. You can also find us through lineupmedia.fm, the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet, now home to the newest internet radio sensation, Yo Radio. Download it from the App Store. It's completely user-friendly. It's absolutely free. You can stream your music. They've got different decade music. They've got genres. They've got all types of influencers and celebrities that are going to have their own radio stations on there. And again, as the baseball station grows on there, we're going to be happy to be a part of it. Lots of cool stuff going on at Yo Radio. Download it today. Leave them a review. They'd greatly appreciate it. Again, to our to the people that make this show possible, you heard me talk about innovative companies at the beginning of the show. Appreciate Randy Green and all he does for us. That's innovativecompanies.com. Remember, residential, commercial, or industrial, doesn't matter. They've got the construction team, heating and cooling, electric, and, of course, the plumbing team. Make sure you check them out. Again, we appreciate everything they do. Can't say enough about Mark Marcuso and all the gang down at Arlington Greens. I saw they had some unbelievable play going on down there this weekend. A lot of cool stuff going on. I know he does stuff down there with some of the veterans for their golf. And I've just seen some amazing things go on there. Mark Marcuso is a tremendous guy. They do a great job with the course. If you haven't played Arlington Greens lately, get down there. They do have available tee times available in the middle of the day. Get down there and check it out. Lots of leagues going on, tournaments. If you need to run a tournament for a charity or for whatever it is you're doing, get a hold of Mark Marcuso down at Arlington Greens. Again, time's limited for it because he's so good at what he does. But if you get down there and can work it out with him, I'm telling you, you'll be glad you did. That's Mark Marcuso and the whole gang down at Arlington Greens in Granite City. Again, it is a hidden gem here in the Metro East. Adam Smokehouse, let me tell you, had some other people tweet at us and send us some stuff on the recommendation that we're in town for Cardinals games. When you get in town or if you live in town, you cannot miss Adam Smokehouse down on Watson. Get down there, try the different sides, try the different entrees. Of course, you hear me, I'm a rib man. You know, Benji's looking at me and he looks hungry to me right now. But again, it doesn't matter what you have down there. I've never had anybody say, hey, I didn't like this as much as this. Everything down there is good. I love their tweets and I love their Facebook posts because it just makes me want more ribs. So again, Adam Smokehouse down on Watson. Thanks to Mike. Tell him that the gang at Two Birds on a Bat told you about him. We would appreciate it. Okay, Benji, I saw a look on your face when I told you about Mo's comments. It was almost a look of I've been down this road before. knock on wood. The truth of the matter is this. Okay, do I think he was talking to Dex? Absolutely. I think there's something going on behind the scenes. I think Dex is probably unhappy, which, you know what? People can say, what's he got to be unhappy about? He's not doing well. He's not doing this. The bottom line is this. I promise you, every baseball player out there will tell you, everyone. Randall Grichuk said it out the door, and he was never even a proven player. Dexter Fowler is a veteran that has had some really good seasons in Major League Baseball. I would argue he's never had a great season, but I would say he's had some good seasons. But he's a veteran that signed a big contract as a free agent to come here. So I can promise you that from both ends of the spectrum, they're all going to say the same thing. I don't know what you want from me if I'm not going to play every day, and you're not going to give me an opportunity to get this thing going. That being said...
But he played every day.
Well... so that being said,
I mean, he's not playing right now,
right?
But what happened to the first month?
Yeah.
What happened to the second month?
Right.
He played every day. So, he's just not doing what he's capable, right? I mean, he's struggling.
So again, I guess the chicken and egg thing here is, how do you want me to come out of the slump if you're not going to let me play every day? You know, look at Carp. He would say maybe you stuck. They didn't really stick with him. They started taking him out.
But it wasn't a big deal like Dex, though.
Yeah.
You know, Dex was, I mean, he's being sit.
Yeah.
Carp was just sit, given maybe 3 days of mental, you know, relax and see what happened. But Carp, I mean, I don't have anything against Carp. I always say it. I mean, I hope that he hits like he's doing. And, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's awesome.
Sure.
But he was given more than Dex, and they both were struggling. Don't get it wrong.
Yep.
They both were struggling big time for more than a month.
Right.
For more than a month. And that, what does that tell you? That's more than freaking 30 games in your season. 30 games that your two guys that you're counting on, I mean, two of them,
right,
that you're counting on big time without counting Pham, without counting Wong. I mean, that's hard, man.
Well, so let me ask you this.
So you're Mo.
Right.
And you see Fowler. I mean, I know you saw Carp getting
sure.
out of it, right?
Sure.
So we should stop about Carp for now because it's okay. I mean, lately, the last month, he's been doing great. But you saw Fowler. You don't want to sit him. That's what people need to understand.
Yeah, they don't want to sit him. I don't care what anybody thinks.
They don't want to sit him. You know how bad they look about that contract if he's in the bench?
Right.
So they don't want to sit him. I mean, Mike doesn't want to see him. Everybody and the coaching staff, I bet you they want him out there. But they want him performing.
Right.
And if he's not, how hard it is for a GM to come up on the radio or whatever and say those things. How hard is that? I mean, but at some point, I got to take off my heat and put it to somebody that it really, really belongs to. And that's them. Because like we always say, the players perform. And you could put whoever you want out there, but if they don't perform, it's just gonna be like this, you know. And oh, Mo did that. Why did you sign him for 5 years? You don't sign a guy to struggle. You sign him to success, you know, to have success, to help the club, but he's not doing it. So I imagine how hard it is for Mo and how hard it is for Mike right now in the clubhouse, dealing with Dex and dealing with Wong situation and all that stuff. I mean, it's really, really hard. I can't even imagine.
Well, and the thing is, you know, I guess so he's talking to Dex, and the reason I think he specifically, and again, it's not his style, really. We know that, right? I mean, like, you've been around enough to know and listen. He talks in generalities. He speaks a lot of, well, you know, this and that. It very rarely does he, by name, talk about things. Am I wrong in thinking that the reason he's addressing this is because there's something going on that it needs to be addressed? Or is it simply, this is a message to everybody that we're done messing around here? If you're not performing and you want to do whatever, I mean, we're going to call a spade, so to speak?
I think the second one, I think it's a message to everybody and saying, hey, listen, we're going to do whatever's best for the club. We want you out there. I'm sure they talked before Jimbo and Josh. They talked before with Dex. The problem is that you cannot talk every day. It's not like an everyday talk. Okay, Dex, come on, let's go for an hour. Let's go talk. And then tomorrow, hey, Dex, come on here. Let's talk. That doesn't work that way. You talk to him. You have a shot at talking to him once, and that's it. You say what you got to say. You try to fix everything if it's a problem. And if you don't, that was your chance right there. After that, it's either Dex gets worse or he gets better. And we all hope that he gets better. But if it's something internal, I don't see it. I don't see it that way as a Mo coming out and saying all this thing. I think Mo is actually probably right. I think he's defending his investment. He's defending what he did. I mean, 5-year deal with a lot of money on the table for a guy who's never hit more than 280, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a 260 something career hitter, yeah.
So I mean, in giving him that much money for you know, in his head, right? I mean, I'm not talking for myself. I'm a player. If you give me $100 million for me hitting 110, I don't give a crap. Give it to me, it's fine. But for him, I'm saying, like, for Mo, it's like, man, I mean, what do? I give these guys this money, and now he's not performing. Now how do I move forward? You know what I'm saying? That's what Mo's thinking. I bet you anything they're thinking every day how to move forward. Me and Josh were having a conversation outside about how to trade guys and if they want to trade guys and they don't fit in the clubhouse or something like that. And they could do that. They could do that. The problem is who's going to get him doing this way and who's going to take his contract unless you eat it.
That's what it's going to come down to. There's no way somebody's going to take that contract. And even if we do find a partner to trade with, we're going to have to give something else up too. It's going to have to be in a package with a prospect.
You maybe don't want to do that, though. Right now, you don't want to. You can't afford to do that right now. If you are – listen, let me tell you this, man. And this is from a player, right?
Yeah.
I want everybody to do good. I want Wong to hit so he can play. We were talking about that off the air, and we were saying the same thing. I want Dex because he will help us win games, and Fam. If Fam can catch fire, you know how much he can help us stealing bases, running around, and then Yadi, Ozuna, and Martinez will have him on base all the time. Sure. Come on, man. That's what we want, but they're not doing it. And he makes it hard for a team. That's why when you were going to ask me about the other question that you were saying about the players, I was going to tell you, my word of all year described the Cardinal inconsistent. Look at the bullpen, very inconsistent. They have a few guys that has performed good. I like Myers, I like Tui. They've been okay at times, obviously that happens, but Cecil and all those guys, Hicks, very inconsistent. I mean, the whole group itself, without Norris, has been very inconsistent. Then you move to the hitting. The hitting has been up and down more than anybody. Inconsistent, because they have the guys that haven't hit in the whole year. You can't have a Swanson guy hitting eight and driving all those runs and hitting crazy and running all around. And you can have a seventh batter, Acuna, driving the ball out to center and RBIs and hitting crazy. That's how you win games, though. But we can have that because the guys that we have are struggling, and it makes it inconsistent. I mean, we are low in doubles. We are low. The only thing we're high
home is runs.
Home runs, yeah. And triples, we're last, I think. On base, with runners on base or something, we're one of the lowest ones. I'm like, how can you win, though? How can you find that way to win games if you have that? You can't. I imagine Mo going to sleep every night just scratching his head, man, unless he don't care, but I know he cares.
Sure.
So, I mean, I see him scratching his head like, what the heck do I have to do here so I can fix these guys, you know? But in a way, guys, he needs to have those guys hitting. He needs to have Fowler hitting the way he's capable of. Wong, you know, Bader, because Bader is starting to slip away and looking bad, too. It wasn't, like, looking good. He has good swing and good cuts, but then he didn't look good lately. So he needs those guys. He actually do. And then guess what? Jericho is not swinging the bat hot either. So that doesn't help because that's your supplement, right? That's your next guy up, you know? So it doesn't help when you have guys struggling. It doesn't help. And this is what you're going to see. As soon as they start hitting, or as soon as they trade them away, or they bring people that can do it, then we'll see a difference. But we just hope that they can catch fire sometime, you know?
Yeah. We always say, and again, I love to go back to Mo being honest and open and saying, my first job is to make this organization money. Okay, check. Check.
He's doing it.
Yeah, he's doing that. Check. But what I do know about people that make money is that they have a long-term – they don't think about just today. They think about tomorrow and the day after and how they get there. So to think for 1 minute that they don't see what's going on with their baseball team would be crazy. Now, that being said – I mean, I think us believing that there's an easy, simple fix for this is inaccurate. That's what I believe. Now,
it's not a simple fix. It's they have to perform.
Now, the reality of it is a lot of people think that if you replaced the manager, that that would fix it. If you replaced the hitting coach, that that would fix it. And I'm not even in the camp of saying absolutely not. We all know that they're human beings, right? We all know that that everybody is motivated by different things and things make you reevaluate yourself when you look in the mirror, so to speak. So, again, we see it all the time. Sometimes a coaching change or a managerial change or anything that goes on. Does it make players stand up and take notice? I think you would have to be naive not to think that a human being doesn't look at change and go, okay, now it's happening. There's change happening. How does it affect me? Where do we go from here?
But you still have to do it.
That's right. And does it for the short term make guys do this or do that? Here's what I will say to you. If that's what it takes, man, I'm really concerned about my long-term investment in you as a player, number one. Number two, I don't – again, and maybe I'm wrong, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this. And again, I'm not trying to dehumanize a professional athlete, especially a baseball player. But the reality of it is, guys, I'm sorry. Dexter Fowler is going to get the money that's owed to him no matter what happens, no matter who the manager is, no matter who the hitting coach is. It's not going to matter. If I'm a professional baseball player, I have what's called a guaranteed contract. Okay? Nothing you do is going to rattle me. Or I'm going to be like, oh, my God, Tony La Russa just walked in. I'm shaking. If I don't like somebody and you get rid of them, I am now happy. I don't know how many people on the team don't like Mike. Even if a couple of the guys think, you know, he does some – I don't understand what he's doing. I promise you they don't look at him and go, I hate him. Dexter Fowler might hate him. He might. And I don't even care. I'm not saying he does. He might. He may be looking at him going, this guy don't play me every day. He don't. Okay, you want to direct your anger at him rather than the mirror? That's fine. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But the bottom line is this. This guy stands up there and takes bullets for his guys every day, which as a player, Benji, I'll ask you this too. Isn't that all you ask of your manager is not to stand in front of a camera, in front of the media, and not go, well, you know, I got to tell you guys, things were going well today, but Benji had a rough day. Benji had a rough day behind the plate today. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the manager's standing there every night going, yeah, I don't know what Karp was doing going to third there. That's not a play. Yeah, we can't do that. You know what? Terrible at bat by Bader there in the eighth. Terrible. We've got to get this going. I don't know what Mabry's telling these guys for the game. How far would that go in the locker room?
No, that doesn't happen. It's it's all motivation, and we discussed this before.
Yeah, but people don't want to hear it. That's the I keep asking you because people don't want to hear it. Yeah. So I'm going to keep asking the guy that's been in the locker room, that's been behind the plate, that's played for some of the very managers that everybody thinks are so much better than what we have, okay? I'm going to ask the guy, and let's be honest, I know, and again, I'm going to briefly go to an edge of somewhere where we go here. I don't know if people realize this, but your brother's in the locker room every day, in case you don't know. And I'm going to also briefly get on the edge of something where we kind of stay away from here. Oh, and by the way, every time they're at home, you're in the locker room 3 days a week. So yeah. I think you have a pretty good pulse without overstepping your own boundaries of what's really going on here.
It's all motivation. It's all motivation. Mabry is a great motivator. He talks to his players every day. He takes them to the video. He takes each one of them. Sometimes the game's over while you go to sleep because of the game was over late. He's still in the clubhouse helping the kids. You know, look, this is what you're doing. If we can just fix this, you'll be all right. And then you go to the cage. Well, everybody's already home. He's still in the cage working with these guys, Bill Mueller, which he won a batting champ. He knows what he's doing, too. The coaching stuff, you can change him. I always say it. You can change Mike. You can change Mabry.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys out there that come in here and coach.
Yeah, you can change him. I mean, but we still have the same players. How do we that guy that's coming in is going to be a great motivator guy. He's going to be a great guy. That's what Mike was. Okay, you don't like Mike. You might like this guy, Joe Torre. Oh, yeah, Joe Torre's coming in. Yeah, let's go, man. You still have to perform. You still have to face that lefty guy from the Brewers. You still have to face John Lester. How are you going to beat Lester?
Well, there's a new manager. You're going to beat him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it doesn't work that way for fans out there that think that just by changing the coaches and changing it, it might not even help. I mean, Mike is a great motivator. Don't forget Mike has a lot of wins under his belt too. This team is underperforming, not all of them, obviously, but in general, they're underperforming three or four guys.
Guys you were counting on.
Yes, guys that are supposed to take you over the top. So how are we supposed to see this? I mean, now you trade a guy and you bring a new guy in, two new guys in, and that might change. Because those two guys that
bring because in, now you're changing performance.
Yes.
You're not changing what you're supposed to be doing. You're mm-hmm. actually changing performance.
Yes. And remember, guys, when you're struggling, and we're talking Cardinals.
Right.
When fam's struggling, you don't want to hear nobody. He's pissed. He's sitting down in his chair pissed because he's struggling. He wants to help out. You know what I'm saying? Or when you have a Fowler struggling, you think he's happy in the clubhouse? He's not. So he doesn't make anything helpful. It doesn't help the teammates. It doesn't help anybody. When Carp was struggling, I bet you he didn't talk to anybody because he was pissed. He wanted to perform. So that's what I'm trying to say. It makes it so hard, man. It makes it so hard on the team that everybody, okay, we got to get a new manager. So the next manager that come in and Fowler's going to hit 300 and Wong's going to hit 250. And then Carp is going to keep raking or Fam is going to catch fire because the manager was fired. No, man, that doesn't happen that way. I mean, I'm sorry. I know a lot of fans want Mike to be gone and Mabry and all these guys. And I don't believe in that easy. I don't think it's that easy. Maybe the clubhouse, like Jimbo said, maybe it changed, you know, like maybe. Like when you bring a new guy, maybe the attitude or all that changed, but you can have all the attitude you want, but you still have to do it. You still have to go out there and face pitchers. You still have to go out there and get Rizzo out and Brian and all these guys that are hot. You know, you still have to go out there and get them out, you know? So, and the manager doesn't do it.
Well, and again, see, I think, and again, people think that I don't feel the same way they do just because I'm trying to be rational. Please don't. I am sitting here telling you that if the Cardinals fired Mike Matheny or John Mabry today, A, I wouldn't be surprised. B, I wouldn't be floored. C, I wouldn't disagree with it. Because at this juncture, I almost feel like you gotta do something. But here's my thing.
It would be really unfair.
Well,
that's what I think.
Yeah, but you know what? Life's unfair. So I'll say that.
No, but I'm saying it will be really unfair. I'm not saying it couldn't happen.
Sure, I know what you mean.
It could happen, but it'd be really unfair to Mike, like you've been saying before. He doesn't have the pieces doing their job. So how are you going to blame the manager and say, okay, get out?
Well,
or something like that.
Sure.
You can't blame the manager and say, get out.
Well, that was where I was going. So here's the thing. If you want to get rid of the manager and the hitting coach, by all means, go ahead. And number one, it's your club, number one. Number two, as Mo has said, let's go all the way full circle here now. Mo has said, my number one job is to make this team money. I promise you that while, yes, they're going to sell 3.3 million tickets this year, okay? Yes, they've got this. Yes, they've got that. Yes, they've got all this great stuff going on, right? They aren't dumb. They know that while they're going to make a buttload of money with the things the way they are right now, they also know that if things were better on the field, they would make even more money.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not dumb. Okay, they are. Whereas we're thinking about the next series and the playoffs this year, they're thinking about 10 years from now. How do we establish our franchise? That's why I believe in my heart that Stanton thing was real. I do think they understand they're in a position that they need to change the culture here from a winning standpoint. How do they get there? I don't know. I don't have a great answer because they found themselves in a situation where they've put some eggs in some baskets and those baskets have not delivered, to be quite honest, right? So what do they do? Well, I guess there's change in order. How do you make this change? I don't know. You know, you look at the St. Louis Blues. Everybody's talking about St. Louis Blues right now here in St. Louis. And the big thing that I don't know if a lot of people realize, they've made some major changes in the face of adversity this weekend. The Blues are dealing with the same thing the Cardinals are dealing with. There seems to be a little something going on in pro sports now where players don't want to play in cities like this. Okay? They want to go live on the coast or in a big city for endorsement or whatever, right? So I would say this. There's a part of me that's always believed that that was somewhat true. But the difference is if you can provide an opportunity to win versus some of those cities, I think that's always a good thing. So the Cardinals have to make a change. The Blues spent a little money this weekend to make that change, not just in the form of taking on salary. Their owner let their GM, basically, he gave him $7.5 million to make a deal this weekend. Instead of the team that they were trading, which was obligated to pay this bonus, I'm sure that the GM said, listen, we'll make this deal, but you cover that bonus. This guy goes to his owner, and his owner says, you do what you got to do to make this team better. If you need $7.5 million check today, you've got it. So everybody right now is jumping on the Blues bandwagon. Oh, my God, they did this. Great. The difference here, folks, is, and I'm going to be completely honest with you, if you want a DFA Dexter Fowler today, it's not $7.5 million. If I'm not mistaken, Josh, do you want to look this up for me? But it's probably in the neighborhood of $50 million to $55
million. I think it's
to
like
go,
40-something.
Yeah. Yeah, we're probably at that point now. To go away? Again, I...
You can trade him and try to get the half of the contract out and... You will not have a team just pick up his contract, I tell you. I guarantee you.
Well, at this juncture, and here's the thing, folks, and I'm going to tell you this. Let's be real honest here and say, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to – I don't – I man, did I hear this weekend? Did I hear somebody say Seattle was at, maybe had heard a rumor, had inquired about Dak? Okay, so let's just say it's Seattle. I don't even know what the situation is up there. Maybe they – I don't know what it is. Let's say it was Seattle. Let's say Seattle's like, man, we got a pretty good team. We could use a guy like that. Okay, number one, are they looking at Dexter Fowler right there going, man, that guy's going to put us over the top? No. Well, what they're looking at is maybe they're going, you know what? There may be a way for us to get a guy and take a chance on him that maybe a change of scenery would get him back to what he was. And if he was what he was, that's exactly what we need here. So maybe we're interested in that guy because he's probably got to be available, right? Okay. Maybe that's realistic.
It worked with Mike Leake.
Okay.
So they might be thinking that same thing.
All right. Here's the difference. I promise you they're not going, oh, yeah, let's go get him. We'll give him nothing and we'll go ahead and take that $50 million. Oh, no. No. And here's the deal about Mike Leake. Make no mistake about it. When we traded Mike Leake, he had had some success that season. He just was trending downward. And the Cardinals looked at it and could tell this was with what we have coming, we can do this deal. And I believe they ate, I don't know what it was, $15 million? You're going to have to eat a lot more than $15 million to get rid of Dex,
is
my point.
You have to be want to be here. I know the money, it's obviously a big part, you know. I'm a different guy, so I'm speaking for myself.
Yes.
Like, if I get a contract, an offer from, like, these guys right now, I mean, they get so much money, and if it's pretty close to what the other guy's giving me, and I'm going either to St. Louis or either to the Mets, it comes down to I want to be there. I want to be there. Do Dax wants to be here?
I don't know that I believe he does.
That's personal.
I don't have any insight on that.
No, I don't know. I'm just asking just to throw it out there. Do Mike Leake wanted to be here? For what I saw, he didn't want to be here. He just took the money because nobody else got that high. So guess what? You offer me that and nobody else did it? Oh, I'll sacrifice. Don't worry. I'll go out there. Look at what happened. He showed. I mean.
Sometimes good, sometimes.
Well, and he, you know, I don't know.
He's the same way in Seattle. He looks good for a couple starts and then he's not so good.
But you know what I'm saying? The big question here, when you as a GM and as an owner give up your money, because it's not our money. It's the owners and the St. Louis Cardinals' money. When you give away your money, you better make sure they want to be here. That, for me, is the biggest key on a contract. Do you think Hosmer wanted to be in San Diego? I don't think so. He just took the money. See, those are the things that you have to think as a GM. It's very important. Maybe the guy say, oh, Scherzer. This is an example. This didn't happen. But Scherzer, we don't know if he didn't want to be here. We didn't know if he says no to us. We didn't know, we traded him away. We didn't know what happened. We didn't know how we felt him or something like that, right? So when you sign a guy as a free agent, anybody, Ozuna. When Ozuna got in here, you saw it in his eyes.
He wanted
to be here. He's enjoying this thing.
Right.
Right? But you have guys that doesn't happen. They take their money because it's higher bet. And they say, okay, family, we got to sacrifice this. But look, it's $80 million. Let's go out there.
Well, and I mean,
it happens, dude. I'm telling you.
To your point, Dexter Fowler's not the only guy. To your point, I think that's where you're going.
No.
Because the reality of it is,
I'm just giving you a stump.
And I think there's a variety of reasons why this happens. Number one, the money is, and let's face it, it's a lot of money.
Did Pablo Sandoval wanted to go to Boston?
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Okay.
I tell you, that's another one. $95 million make you want to go to Boston.
I could make you real uncomfortable right now, but I won't, because I know your family. You guys are all good friends with Albert. You will not convince me, and I'm not going to ask you because I know you won't answer this question, and I don't expect you to. You will never convince me that Albert's happy, that has been happy since he left. No, I'm sorry. I'm sure him and Mike Trout are friends. I'm sure he enjoys some things and all that. In his heart, there is no way he's looking at the second half of his career and is happy about it. No way. Never going to convince me.
And what did he do?
You got a big check.
160 or 245? Where would you go?
Well, you know.
160? Very simple. It was.
Are you sure it wasn't 200 plus? Because that's what the paper said.
Okay. I got it from somebody else that knew. But 160 or 245? Which one would you take?
Right.
So, and then at the end of your career, you're part owner of the Angels. At the end of your career, come on, man.
Well, I guess my point is this. Well, that's my point. My point is it's not just a Dexter Fowler thing.
But it happens every year.
That's right. That's right. So look at Dexter Fowler's situation, okay? Every player at some juncture, typically, not every player. Let's go back. The good ones usually get, especially in this day and age of baseball, they get one shot at this. The way the clubs are working now, that's why these guys want these big contracts when they're in their upper 20s, because they know if they sign a 5-year deal and they're 32, they're not getting anything.
Nope.
That's where it's going. That's why the agents saw this coming. That's why you started seeing all this go down, right? Okay. So let's look at that and let's be realistic about it. I'm Dexter Fowler. Let's be completely honest here. I've had a good career. I've never been a stud, right?
No, by numbers.
I just won a World Series, had an unbelievable year because, let's face it, if you were a part of the Chicago Cubs that won a World Series after 108 years, what a magical year, right?
The Cleveland Indians were winning 3-1. If they would have finished the Cubs, do you think Dexter gets the contract he did?
No. It's not just – but hang on. It's not even just that. Think about this. Dexter Fowler, okay – has a quote-unquote skill set that the Cardinals were lacking. It was a little bit of a perfect storm for the Cardinals. Now, you can argue all day long whether you thought that that skill set was elite or was it just, well, we've needed a leadoff hitter. He's a leadoff hitter. And the truth of the matter was this. If you're Dexter Fowler, you're probably looking at it going, hey, I won a World Series. I just did something in a 365-day calendar year that is never going to be forgotten in time. I'm a free agent. I've got a family. I could do a whole lot worse than taking $85 million and going to St. Louis. Bye. And let's face it, the Cubs didn't even want him back.
There wasn't a whole lot of other people that even wanted him. I think I heard Toronto, and that was it.
There was one more. Was it Baltimore, maybe? I can't remember who.
Either way, there wasn't very many suitors.
Either way. Okay.
I'm sorry. I love Dex. If we look at him, his career – like you said, I mean, it's a normal guy. Like the guy in Texas where he robbed that home run, and then he had a great year, 18 home runs, great year.
Yeah.
60 RBIs, great year.
Yeah.
And 280 average or something like that, great year.
Yeah.
And he gave him $55 million for 4 years or something or
I don't even know
like
who
that.
You're talking about. Who are you talking about?
I'll tell you off the air. But look, there you go. They were willing to do that because they had one good year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, obviously, why do you think they signed him for that? Because they want him to perform the same way he did. So this is what happened to Dex.
Sure.
You signed him for $80 million, whatever that was, 50, 60.
85 or whatever it was.
Yeah, you signed him, but you don't sign him to struggle like this.
No.
That's what people need to understand. Well, when Dex is going good, he's going to hit 280. He's going to be on base a ton of times. He's going to have your 60 RBIs, and he's going to hit your 15 home runs.
Well, let's be honest about
it. That's why we want him to do.
So let's be honest about it. Until this year, for the most part, Dexter Fowler has been a 260-something hitter with double-digit home run power. And when I say double-digit, I mean low double digits, okay? But a really good on-base percentage. And in this day and age of baseball, right, you're sitting there as the Cardinals going, man, if we can get that on-base percentage in the top of our lineup in front of what we believe we have in the middle, if he comes in here and plays good defense, not even great defense, they weren't ignorant. They knew he wasn't a gold glove caliber defender. He's a good defender, not great. Just come in here and play good. Be a spark. He seems like a great guy, great clubhouse guy, all this kind of stuff, right? Guess what, folks? In this day and age, that's worth $15 million a year.
So I got a question. Do you think Mo and Theo Epstein talk then? about? I mean, anything.
Oh, they all talk.
I mean, I guess, you know, the rivalry, I get that. But they're obviously never – well, I haven't seen a trade in Cardinals-Cubs.
Not since Lou Brock. Exactly. And you ain't gonna.
But it's not because they don't want to. It's more because of respect of the fans and in respect of themselves. They might not like the Cubs. I mean, as a
you still don't see teams trade.
Well, this is where I want to go with it. Is did Mozeliak call Theo and ask, like, do these GMs like do this, or you know,
sure
president of baseball ops say, hey, what's this guy like?
Okay,
in the clubhouse.
To your point, that's a great question. But to your point, okay, yeah. Listen, if you don't think they do, then you're crazy, because they all these. How many GMs are there in the world? There's 30. They're an elite club, and they all know who they are and what they have, okay? And the reason I say that is because when something goes bad, you very rarely see it. But, man, just wait. If something goes bad, you see it kind of drum up in the media. So-and-so fibbed to somebody, didn't do something, did something. They've got their own elite club as well. There's a little respect in there. That's number one. Number two, let's go to that. Well, what's Theo Epstein going to tell him?
Yeah.
Up until that point, Dex was who he was. Good clubhouse guy, you know, you go, we go. Look at what he did. He performed. He did all this. What are you expecting to tell him? The reality of it is I think Benji, to his credit, is on to something here and trying to be respectful of Dex, because Benji's been there as a player as well. I think what Benji's doing is basically laying it out for you, going, look, this is the reality, and that's this. Very rarely does a player, and you can see him, and you can go back and look at the situations. How many guys settle, and I'm making air quotes here, how many guys settle and go somewhere and have it work out great? Seriously, you're not...
JD Martinez.
No. He didn't settle.
He took the money that the only guys...
Arizona wanted him, but yeah.
Yeah, but not like that big money.
Yeah, but you're talking about going to Boston. I mean, I'm not talking about going to a team that didn't make the... I mean, Boston's got some real talent there, right?
He wanted to go to Boston.
See, that's my point, though. He wanted to go there. That's my point.
That's what you got to have, people that want to be there.
You know, that's my point. See, and that's why people are going to go back and they're going to – Mo is eternally going to be roasted over the Max Scherzer thing, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Here's a guy that has flat out said, I wanted to play for the Cardinals, and they weren't interested.
Did you know that he was going to be like that?
Well, I understand that. But my point is, that's why he's going to get roasted, though.
No.
You know?
He shouldn't. You don't know. You don't know if this guy's going to be the stud that he is. Everybody thought Mark Pryor was going to be a Hall of Famer. Everybody thought Kerry Wood was going to be this phenom. Right. Everybody thought that...
We can go on and on.
And nobody knows that, man. Please just stop that, man.
Well,
Scherzer, okay, he came out and deal now, right? I mean, he wanted to be in St. Louis. That's okay. I get that. You don't know. How the hell do you know?
Well, I agree with you there, and I think most fans agree with that. I think the issue is this. You gave money to guys that weren't as good as him. So it isn't knowing.
But that's...
The problem is you gave money to Mike Leake. You offered all this money to David Price. You did all these things, and the one guy that wanted to play for you that was as good as those guys, you didn't entertain. That's why he's going to take a bath, not over...
But that's the reason.
Yeah.
I give you that. That's a reason. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can say all you want about that. I get it. And but how do you know a guy is going to... We're going through in Puerto Rico baseball. We're going through a stage where Javi Baez,
right.
Lindor, they don't even make a million yet, buddy. Correa. How successful are those kids? They don't make a million yet. They're $600,000 kids. So guess what? When the time to sign a contract comes, how do you know they're going to keep going? How do we know that you're going to give them $200 million?
Those three guys made it to the World Series or won it.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
Out of Puerto Rico. Look, Yachty, Javi, Lindor.
Well, you see what I'm saying?
I mean, it's... Yeah.
How do you know that these guys are going to get going?
Okay, so
Grichuk was a first rounder.
Okay, great point. So let's talk about that for a second. So in the end, what can you do when it comes to the big contracts? All you can do really is your homework, right? So isn't it kind of a gamble? And I think to some degree, you look at a variety of things. This is my opinion.
But you signed those guys for your team, man. You signed him for the Cardinals. You signed him not only for GM Mo. You don't sign him for yourself. You sign him for the freaking Cardinals. So these guys come in, and Dexter's going to pump me up my outfield, and then Wong's going to hit 300, steal bases, play great defense, and then you sign DeJong to a big deal. How do you know DeJong's not going to struggle in the second year of his career? How do you know that? No, they sign him because they want them to do well. That's what the big difference is with big contracts.
Sure. Well, and the thing is, isn't at some juncture, I you know, it's funny, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and it's funny where this went, so bear with me here. The conversation was about, this is interesting. It started with my son being 16 now and getting his driver's license and having to add him to my car insurance. And folks, if you haven't had to do that yet, whenever you find out what it's going to cost, please sit down. Please be sitting down for that conversation. It is not a good conversation. So the conversation turned to, well, technically they're covered and you can kind of forget to add them for a little while and then you can add whatever and they're still technically covered, da, da, da. And they, I go, and I said, well, what's the downside to that? Well, what's the downside to that? And they said, well, the downside is that if something happens, yes, he's covered, but they're going to go back and say, you owe us for 6 months that you didn't pay. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't I do that, though? Because insurance is a gamble. That's what insurance is. It is a gamble. When you have homeowner's insurance, well, you have it because the law says you have to have it. But it's basically a gamble that something's going to happen someday to your home and you need this insurance.
Whoever made that law was a genius.
Yeah. Well, but think about it. Here's the deal. I have had car insurance since I was 16 years old and have never once used it. I have to have it because it's the law. It's also a good idea for me to have it in case something really bad happens and I'm covered. But the reality of it is, if it wasn't a law and I wanted to gamble, right now I'd be ahead. Now, obviously, if something happened, I'd be behind. It's all a gamble. So I said, you know what? It's kind of like signing pro athletes to big contracts. And a guy looked at me and I go, it's all a gamble. All you can do is look at your situation. And you can assess it, and you can break it down as much as you want. But the reality of it is, we just don't know what tomorrow brings. But I can be educated. So the thing would be this. If I'm 48 years old and I've never had an accident, I mean, would you bet on me not to have one versus a 16-year-old kid who's been driving for a year and driving really well?
Mm-hmm.
So the truth of the matter is, that's what happens in baseball a lot. Guy has one good season.
Yeah.
And then you say, you know what, I'm going to gamble on him, and I'm going to invest in him. And then sometimes you get in a wreck, and sometimes you don't.
Yes, yes.
And we've gotten in a bad wreck
but
here with
that. It's not a freaking GM fault. This is what people need to understand, Jimbo. It's not the GM. The GM is signing your guy. It's signing. It's giving the team a better player, right, supposedly.
Well,
like when they signed Hamilton in the Angels, that was a great freaking signing by that Moreno guy.
It just didn't work.
It just didn't work. But how Moreno have to take a crap about everybody? Oh, that was a horrible signing. What? How was it a worse signing? Because it didn't work. Of course, it's easy right now to say, oh, Dexter Fowler's a horrible signing.
I would love to know.
How about Leak?
Yeah.
Was that a horrible signing too? Well, now it didn't work out. It's easy to say, oh, it wasn't a work. Get the heck out of here, man. When they signed Leak, they signed him to win 15 to 17 games every year.
And
that's why they signed him. So give credit to the Cardinal. They're trying. I give credit to the John Daniels. He's one of my favorite GMs in the world. Why? Because he keeps ringing people. He trades. He goes sign free agents. Oh, we got a prospect. Oh, no. You know what? We need Cole Hamels. Oh, we got to give this guy. Okay, let's go. What is he doing? He's bringing players for the team to be better.
Trying.
Have they been better? No, they've been, you know, lately they've been better. But I'm saying, in general, you cannot blame the freaking GM for bringing Mike Leek or for bringing Dexter. You can't, for Osuna, when he was getting booed at the beginning of the year for not hitting, being booed? Are you serious? Ozuna, the type of player he is, the type of energy he brought to the GM should never get a freaking boo or nothing because the GM is bringing the freaking players to succeed. Do they work out? Oh, what the hell? I hope they had the crystal ball that they can say, oh, Dexter's going to struggle. Nah, we ain't going to sign him. Let's go sign somebody else. They don't have that luxury. They sign a player to help out a team. That's all they do.
Josh, I'll tell you, this would be a good thing for you. I don't even know if there's a way to do it. I think you would enjoy this, though. So I'm going to ask you if you can do this. I would love to go back. There's got to be something where you can look at all the and I'm not – I wouldn't want to do it for everything, but there's got to be a way to go back over the last 10 years and look at all the decent-sized free agent contracts that were signed when people switched teams. I would be curious to know how many of them really work out in the end.
Well, I can tell you right now, I don't – I've looked it up before.
I bet it's not as high as people think.
And how Boston feel with Panda? How did he feel with Panda Sandoval?
Yeah.
$95 million to Panda, and then the second year he's gone.
It would take a lot. It would take me a lot. I'll definitely look that up because I've been looking at it before, and I've seen, you know, especially players that go somewhere that they don't really want to go. You know, or they didn't show interest in, and it was kind of one of those out of nowhere contracts that just came up, and the team ended up getting them because of the money, and then proceeding on to you know, actually be productive.
Hey, listen, listen. In the end, to your point, and I think it's a great point about the where you want to go. So, let's look at it this way: when free agency starts. How many hands do you need to take off your socks to count the number of times somebody basically said, this is where I want to go, work it out, go do it? They don't, though. Why? Because it's not in their best interest negotiations wise. Because what? If you're, let's say Max Scherzer comes out at the time and says, I'm from St. Louis. I'm on an upward trend here. I want to go to St. Louis. Because everybody believes that now St. Louis is going to go, well, since you want to come here, why don't you take a discount? Screw that. Okay, if you really want to come here, let's sit down and hammer this thing out and we'll make it fair. But that's typically not how it goes.
Hey, we'll see next year.
Well, Washington's over here with such and such, and they want to give me this. Are you going to match it? Well, now that doesn't fit in our long-term fiscal plan, so now we have a problem. So now I've come full circle with where the whole conversation is going, and it's this. Number one, to Benji's point, and to what Josh reiterated, and I think we're all in agreement of this. Did the player really want to come here? That's number one. Number two, does the organization really want them? Now, it's easy to say, well, yeah, they want them. They gave them a contract. They gave them this. Or did the organization feel like they had to do something? You never know about these things because I've said since day one, I said it. You can go back and listen to it. I trust you more than I trust anybody, okay? Dexter's a great guy. Everybody likes him, good person, and I've said since day one that I want to like him so much as a baseball player. I don't have any problems liking him as a person. He is a good human being, and I think it's sad what happened with the social media thing, and I put it out there, and I really don't care if anybody doesn't like it. When you run a guy off that all he does with his social media is try to help people, shame on you. And again, everybody's entitled to your opinion. Tweet whatever you want, but don't tweet at the guy. Do you think he doesn't know he's hitting 170? Do you think he doesn't know that these things are going on? And if you don't expect his wife to defend him, what kind of marriage do you have? Okay? Because my wife's going to defend me if you attack me. Benji's your wife going to defend you if you get attacked?
Yeah, we just don't care.
Okay. All right. So here's the deal, folks.
We live our life. It's what I mean.
I know. He's a good dude, but I have wanted to like him as a player, and I just couldn't do it. And you can go back, and again, I don't want a lollipop for this, but I said since day one when they were even thinking about signing him, why in the world? The conversation should have been, well, we're thinking about signing him, and we're thinking about signing him because he did well in these fields. Houston, Or he was in Colorado. Mm-hmm. That's why he hit 310, 320. He didn't even hit 320 in Colorado. He hit 260.
He had 300 in 2012. I'm looking
at
it right
now.
Okay,
what was his career average in Colorado? It was like 268. It was exactly who he is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People want to talk about Jerko. He is who he is. He's a 240 hitter with a little bit of power. Not a little bit. Good power. But he's a 240 hitter.
That's what he is.
But don't forget, this is us. This is us talking. This is our mind. This is our mindset. What you're just saying is our mindset. Now, Mo, Gersh, are they thinking that way? They might be thinking the total opposite of what you're just saying right now.
Well, and again,
because we don't know, right?
Right. So
at that time,
I
want to
go off that mindset,
thinking,
though, because I think we need to ask this question. Are the players playing for the player, or are they playing for the team?
Oh,
and wow. I mean, and this is the thing, that's the big million-dollar question, and I'll finally bring it up. My buddy Chance, he's from Texas, and he always listens, and I always BS, and he tells me, hey, tell Benji this, and this. But we were talking about it the other day, and he goes, Rugen and Odor is awful when Texas is playing awful baseball. When they're losing, Odor is the worst hitter in baseball. When Texas is winning, he's the best hitter on the entire team. Like, he does, like, he looked up numbers. I don't have his numbers, but it kind of brings up the same concept. Like, you know, when we get, I really feel like the Cardinals are one of those teams where if they get a hit, they start, like, they string together innings like they did with Pham hitting the 3-run bomb in the, seventh yesterday. They string together stuff like that.
I know what you're saying.
How can you? How
are those guys players for the team, or are they players for the player?
But let me tell you this one for Odor, right? And you will understand what I mean. The same point we were being talking.
Sure.
Odor. You have Odor that is a great hitter in minor leagues. You have Odor that is a great defender because he won't go glove or whatever that thing they give him. Hustler. He steals bases. I mean, he hustles. He dies for everything and everything, right? So he comes up to the big league, struggle a little bit, and then he had a great year. I don't know how many home runs. You can look it up, but he had a great year. Awesome. Or maybe 2 years. And then the GM gave him a nice contract. Very nice contract. So for what? So he could do the same thing he's been doing. Because it's saying here, Odor, you did this. You did great. We know we want you for 3 more years or 4 more years here in Texas. And here, this is a nice contract. All I want you to do is the same thing that you've been doing, the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? He can find a hit. He don't know. I don't know. Something happened to that kid.
But at that time, because my buddy looked it up, well, and it's like.
No, but at that time, you know, like you said.
Yeah.
At that time, he's awesome. So how can you blame the owner GM for that contract?
Yep.
Now, I want anybody to tell me, oh, that was a bad signing. No. No. So that same thing happens here.
Yep.
Maybe you give him maybe more money than you should. Maybe. You can go with that. But that's not a bad contract if Dexter does what he does best.
Yep.
Because that's why you sign these guys. Yeah, sometimes don't work out. But you can't rattle the freaking GM.
Yeah.
For bringing people in to help out the team, and then like when he brought that backup guy Peña, $5 million for 2 years to a guy who didn't play. But guess what? When he was playing the year before, he did good. He was brought here to help out, but he didn't work out. $5 million. What happened to Cecil? He was brought here with this $1 million to what? So he can get people out, lefties out. You haven't done it.
Nope.
But you can't blame the freaking GM for that.
Yep.
You can't. Because he's doing everything he can to bring people in so they can be successful and help my freaking team up go to the playoff.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I still
it's so
think,
easy.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Everybody out there on Twitter and then everybody, oh, yeah, Mo, that's a bad signing. Oh, it's so easy to say bad signing. Why? Because it already didn't work out. It didn't work out. Yeah, it's easy to say about signing. But when they signed Bud Norris.
That was a bad signing.
You could say
back
that.
Before the season started. Yeah, that's what everybody was saying.
But that's where I'm going.
They sat there and.
Because Bud Norris was normal in the Angels. He did the starting sometimes. He wasn't signed for that. So he doesn't qualify. I'm talking about the guys who signed for a bunch of money.
Yeah.
This Norris guy didn't sign for that much money, right? So that's a different cat. But I'm saying, why don't you say, man, Mo did great with Norris? How many times do you hear that?
Well, I've heard about Norris and Michaelis so far this year.
How many?
But I hear what you're saying, I understand, and that's where I think it's funny that we're having this conversation with the signings and the GMs and how that's the GM's fault, and then whenever the players are struggling on the field, we blame the coaches. So what's the common denominator here? It's the players.
Well, again.
The players.
So the San Diego Padres, Hosmer,
mm-hmm.
Horrible signing because they're not winning. But he's doing good. He's doing having a good year. Is that a horrible signing too? Because they're not winning. They brought him in because he's a winner. Come on, man. The GMs are doing their job.
So Benji, I got a question for you then. Let's answer we'll finish with this today because this is the number. Like when I have, and again, thanks to everybody out there that wants to have a good back and forth on this. You don't have to agree with me or Benji or Josh or Steve or anybody on the show. I don't care. That's what makes this fun. I don't expect you to agree. But I love the civil conversations, even if they get a little testy. I don't mind because I love it. That's passion, right? We don't have to get personal, number one. We don't have to go full-on ignorance. That's number two. Because as I sometimes – when I feel it's going that way sometimes, I will – and you can always tell in my tweet, I'll say, you are obviously entitled to your opinion. Because I want people to know, I'm getting ready to say something you're not going to like, but you are obviously entitled to your opinion, just like I am or anybody else. So let me say this to you then, Benji. The number one thing that I get is, then what good is a coaching staff? Why even have one? Why even have one? If they don't have anything to do with it and it's all on the players, why have a coaching staff?
Very simple. Very simple. Why having one? Because all I hear is Mike Matheny did that. All I hear, it's Mabry that's not doing the job on the hitters. That's all I hear around. Oh, we need to find a new thing. I even started reading my friends from Puerto Rico. They still want to fire Mike. And I'm like, gosh, man, even in Puerto Rico, they want to fire Mike and Mabry. Oh, let's start over. Start over on what? Like, what do you mean start over? So you want to tank a few years? Like, you know, like a Brave? I'm not saying the Brave did tank, but they lost 4 years in a row, like 100 games or something. Is that what you want in St. Louis? I don't know, man. I don't know. When you have success with 19th pick, 16th pick, and all that, like Waka, Weaver,
mm-hmm.
Flaherty, 19th pick or something like that, and you have success with those guys, you think you want to tank 100 games so you can get a first overall pick?
That may not pan out?
It might not even work out. Come on, man. Get the heck out of here. I get so frustrated with people sometimes because they don't understand the part of the GM. They're looking for somebody easy to blame, and I get it. I mean, that's part of it. And I'm not saying by any means that Mo and Gersh have done the greatest things. I mean, I'm not even defending anybody. I'm just saying that when they sign somebody to your team, when the Blues sign somebody for the hockey, it's for them to perform. I don't think they sign him to just give away $5 million and say, okay, buddy, come here, be a cheerleader or something. No, they sign him because they want him to be good and they think they can help out the team. So I don't see sometimes it gets me frustrated just think about it, but, you know, that's how they are, so I don't care.
So, Benji, on the final note about the coaches, and I know we got to get rolling here, people want change. And they're gonna listen. I don't know that there's anything. First and foremost, I'm not quite sure who they want head more. If they want, I think if you were to have a Mount Rushmore of Cardinal people right now that fans have had it with, you know, I think on the Mount Rushmore guys could we agree it'd be Mike, John Mabry, Mo.
Well, here's a question real quick before you keep going, Jimbo. What if you from the outside looking in, okay. Right? You're not a GM or nothing. You right. From the outside looking in, what would you do with the team? What is the thing that we would have done with the team right now?
Well, the problem is that I can sit here all day long and play fantasy land, but the reality of it is they deal in reality.
No, I know, but I'm saying what in your mind, what these guys should do, because a lot of people have their opinion. I'm sure you do. But from the outside, for me, it's a lot easier to see that the hitting's not doing well, especially when you have three guys in the lineup out of eight that are struggling. Well, you might have the jump back, but you don't know how he's going to be. But let's say two and then the pitcher. You have three guys in your lineup.
Almost automatic outs.
Okay, almost. So, and then you have a bullpen very inconsistent back there. The defense, it makes errors, a lot of errors.
That defense, which Jose Oquendo was supposed to fix.
Yeah, Jose Oquendo was supposed to play second this year, but he's not. So, but you know what I'm saying? So how do you expect the rise? How do you expect this? Oh, let's beat the Brewers. Oh, let's beat the Cubs. How do you expect doing that? I mean, seriously, think about it. It's very simple from the outside, because that's the way I see it from the outside. I don't play.
It is funny that Mike took a lot of heat the other night on social media because somebody had asked him a question, and he said, baseball is hard. And everybody's like, oh, well, the great quote. The reality of it is it's true.
It's true.
That's the reality of it.
It's hard, but
I think he was almost making fun of you.
Yeah.
I do. You cannot like that.
I thought so, too.
You cannot like that. I kind of thought, because the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of people that like to put a lot of things out there that don't realize how hard it is. They really don't.
Well, just think about it, what we just discussed. Three guys that are outs out of 27 outs, you're going to see that three times. That's nine outs, kind of. You know, I want them.
But more often than not.
Yes, I want them to get hits. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Cardinal fan. I want them to do well. I've said this before. But you have that. Your struggles. You don't hit doubles. You don't hit triples. The on base, you know, with runners on base, we're one of the last ones. Okay, that's one. Then you go to the bullpen, very inconsistent, and, you know, we're giving up a lot of leads. Then you go to the defense, and we're playing, I don't want to say horrible, but bad defense.
Not good.
How do we expect to beat the Brewers, Chicago, and the Pittsburgh, and I'm talking only our division. These kids right here from the Braves, they took it to us. They said, here, Cardinals, this is how you play ball. This is how you play ball. And they show us, and they show the Cardinals how it's supposed to be done, right? I mean, in general, I'm not pointing fingers or anything at anybody. I'm just saying in general, they took it. But why? Because they had eight guys. The pitcher wasn't out. That's okay. But they had eight guys that could do damage. And guess what? The bullpen, they came in, shut it down. And guess what? The starting, we didn't even face Newcomb.
Yeah, but that Boltovich guy is the real deal.
I know.
Yeah.
But we face him.
Yeah, but you're right. Newcomb's good, too. Yeah.
So, and then the other guy that we miss is good,
or
too.
Whatever. Fried, too.
So what? Yeah. What? I mean, they took it to us. They show us what we want the Cardinals to be.
Do you like my tweet, by the way? The guy said this weekend the Cardinals faced three Brave starters and didn't get a run, dot, dot, dot. And I said, there's a lot of teams that face the Braves over a three-game set and don't score a run. It's hard to score off Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin, and then I put, oh, wait. It's not those guys anymore.
Oh, my God.
It's funny because Stottlemyre was talking in the booth about that year in the playoffs when the Cardinals were up 3-1 on the Braves. And I'll never forget, I interviewed Leo Mazzoni for my youth baseball show. And I asked him about, this was off air, I asked him, because in St. Louis, they were let's face it, that was the big three, right? And, you know, the rumor was that Bobby Cox went in the locker room after the Cardinals took a three-game lead and said, listen, the bottom line is they're going to have to beat the best – they're going to have to beat one of the three of the best – one of you guys. They're going to have to beat one of you guys, and you're the three best on the planet. Mm-hmm. So go out there and do what you do, and then the rest is history. And I asked the Amazonian about that, and he goes, it's 100% true. He goes, because why? Because it was true. These were three guys that could arguably be noted as the three best pitchers on the planet.
But it's unfair to compare
three
guys.
Well, what he was saying, that's what he was
and
saying.
And Steve Avery was legit, too.
Well,
so.
But what Mazzoni was saying was, listen, are the Cardinals forever going to take a lot of heat for losing a 3-1 series lead? Of course they are. But the reality of it is it was such a unique situation that how many times are you going to go and face Smoltz, Glavin, and Maddox, and it's not going to work out real good for you? Happens all the time.
All the time.
And you know, and it's just...
But it's just how it is, Jimbo. The team, you know what? I wanted to say something real quick. I love that Pham got a two-hit night yesterday, two-hit day. I hope he catch fire from that.
Sure.
I'm really glad that Carp is start hitting, you know. I'm glad for that. I'm getting more excited about Greg Garcia hitting and moving around. He's great for me. Jose Martinez, I love what he does at the plate, and he's a great hitter. He can hit, man. He can bring guys in. He has a lot of energy in that clubhouse, in the dugout, and all that. Of course, he needs to improve in a lot in the defense, but I'll take his hitting. Ozuna is doing great, man. Ozuna is a great, great person to have in the clubhouse in the dugout. I love that. Bader is one of our hidden treasure, like I call it. I'm just waiting for him to explode and start playing the way he does, man. He's exciting to watch. Obviously, Fowler, we're waiting for him. Jerko, man, he could hit. It's really hard for him to have 2 days off and then face a tough pitcher, and all of a sudden 2 more days off and then face another tough pitcher. It's very hard to do. So Yadi's going to do his thing. I know that. He's a very consistent player. So I'm excited about the team. The only thing I'm not excited about is the part of inconsistency on every angle that we have. As soon as we can check that out of our box, we might have a good team out there, man. So let's just keep hoping and being a fan, man. I mean, it's hard and it's easy to criticize somebody because they're not doing well because they lost 3 to the Braves. Those guys are first place, man. They can play. They took it to us. They can pitch. But when you have a bullpen inconsistent and you have a hitting that is not very consistent, the errors that we make, we put ourselves there. The walks, they're very high. We have a very high walks ratio, and I mean, it's really tough to win games, man. I'm a Cardinal fan, so I don't care. I mean, I know they're struggling, but I know they're going to turn the pace. They got the heart, though, man. I mean, it's not easy to go through a 6-0 game, a guy shutting you down, and then in the 7th, 8th, or 9th, you score 5. Or the day before when they score a few runs and 4 runs and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, it's not easy to do that. I tell you, it's not easy. And these guys keep battling, keep fighting, and that's what you can ask for as a fan. You know, obviously you want the wins, but this is – and you know what? These games like this, these series like this that piss you off, that's what makes winning the championship more sweeter. Like, if you end up winning a championship, you can look back at the Cardinals and say, wow, we stunk for a while. We didn't do this. We couldn't pitch. We couldn't hit. And, wow, we end up winning. We end up winning the division, or we went to the playoff, or we end up winning the World Series. You know, it makes it a lot sweeter. So I'm hoping for that, you know.
Yeah, again, if I'm going to look at it and try to figure out, you know, where do we sit in all this, I guess I'm just looking at it from the outside, looking in, thinking to myself, you know, if I've got guys that have heart and character and want to be here and want to play at the highest level and do all these things, I mean, I'm ready to go into battle with whoever and whoever wants to do their thing. But again, I think there's some great points brought up today of, you know, how many of these guys really at the end of the day want to be here. And unfortunately, I'm just not quite sure that that's an easily answered question.
And the winning takes 25 people together.
Yeah.
And that's not counting the coaches, right? Because the coaches count, of course. But I'm saying, like, as a player, you have 25 guys out there, and they need to become together out there. And if you have one guy that is out, away from what we're looking for, one guy mess up the whole thing, yet alone having 2, 3, or 4 guys, you know, it's really hard to do. And believe me, I've been in those teams, and I've been in the other teams too, that everybody's together, pulling for each other, pulling for the win. You know,
yeah.
It's not like an outfielder saying to another outfielder, "Hey, come on, stay back on that ball, go to right field." You don't see that often these days, because that right fielder might take your job if he gets to hit. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree.
But to have a winning team, you should matter. You should help out your teammate. You should talk to your teammates and do all that. So, if you want to win, that's how it's going to be. If you don't want to win, you know, you don't have to be a good teammate. You just get a paycheck and go home.
Well, I know you got to get out of here. You got to go. I hope we answered some questions today from the Cardinal fans. There were some hard truths in here today. We probably got about as close to the edge as you're going to get on a few things, I would have to agree, I'd have to say. We thank our listeners, of course, for being a part of the show. Tough time right now to be a Cardinal fan. Listen, I will say this. I love the Cardinals. Just because I'm unhappy doesn't mean I don't love the Cardinals. It's like family, and I think it's that way. Even for the people that are really upset, I think it's that way for 95% of those people. I do believe you don't have to be a rocket scientist to look at social media, and there's 5% of them. They're either not who they say they are, and they're just, I guess, what is the word, Josh? You help me here, troll. They're a troll.
Pen names, yeah.
Yeah, trolls, whatever.
Yeah.
They're either not who they say they are, and they just like stirring shit up, or I don't know what you're trying to be, because I don't know why you would be happy about bitching every second of the day about it. You can have an opinion and be unhappy, but some people go to great lengths to spend the whole day tweeting out complaints.
Getting people pissed
off.
Listen,
I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people that are unhappy with this team. I don't know anybody personally. I don't have one friend that's unhappy with this team that just criticizes every little thing they do, even the things that aren't right. It's one thing to say that was obviously a problem or this is obviously a problem, but literally can't wait for one thing not to go right or work and then start in on it. Again, I'm using the walking Freddie Freeman as an example. Because they walked the winning run a couple weeks ago, which still was the right thing to do, by the way. I don't care what anybody says, okay, as you're shaking your head yes, and you played and you caught, okay?
Yep.
So they did it again, and the guy had a grand slam. And now because everybody that doesn't know what the hell they're talking about was criticizing
it. Is that
now,
the same guy that if Markakis hit a ground ball double play and we're out of the trouble, is that the same guy that's, oh, man, that's a great call, walking Freeman? Is that the same guy?
Well, the reality
is, why I don't care.
That situation called
you say
for
what
more
you
than
want,
anything. Yeah.
Right? You say what you want, and I'll say what I want, and that's it.
So, it's very simple. I'm not sure that some people don't just get off on complaining. But whatever. Hey, that's your stick, right? I mean, I say, hey, fan how you want to fan. Do what you want to do.
Is that a true fan, though?
They can argue that they're fan. Well, they can say, well, you know, and this.
They can say they are.
You got your rose-colored glasses on. I'm a true fan because I'm calling it like I see it. Call it like you see it, but again,
make it right, though.
I find it interesting that it's 24/7, nothing but complaining.
You can think this is white right here. Right here, the
but
screen
black.
Is black. But you can make yourself believe that that's white.
I know I can.
But that doesn't
especially
make it true.
Especially if you give me some analytics.
But that doesn't make it true.
Do you like my thing the other day? How come I didn't get any response to that the other day?
I've been busy,
How
man.
Come I didn't
I've
get a response? No, not from you. How come nobody had anything to say to me the other day when I answered somebody's tweet on there? Is this Matheny an idiot? Gomber's not a lefty specialist. The numbers say he gets righties out. Okay, well, he come in, he pitched to the lefty, and he hit him.
Yeah,
he didn't even get a hit of him. He hit him. Okay, and then I said, well, you're not going to go to Jerko here? You're going to let Wong face this lefty? Well, did you check Biddle's stats? He gets rocked. You know, he's given 380 to lefties. And so if the analytics are always true, why didn't Wong get a hit against their guy?
Mm-hmm. He does. Analytics
why?
Is
why?
Always. I told you, and I'm going to say it one more time, and hopefully this is the last time. Analytics is the thing that they can say after it happened. How about Kimbrel with the Boston closer throwing a million miles an hour, and then Mike Trout, he could be hitting 500 of him. That doesn't make it the next time they face, he's going to hit a home run or hit just because he hits 500. That's what I'm trying to say. The next time, maybe Kimbrel make the pitches, and he did. He closed the game out the other day against Trout. But people were saying, oh, he kills him and he does all these things. That doesn't make it he's going to get a hit. So analytics for me, it's more after a thought, not, you know, after it happened. It's great to have that number. But he doesn't assure me that Josh is going to go out there and say, okay, what happened to the Fry guy, the Fryette guy? He never had a hit. He can hit for nothing. Analytics say pitch to the pitcher. What happened? He got his first hit. So what happened to the analytics there?
Well, again,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, it's same thing with the Lucky. Don't get me going. Freaking D. Gordon has the most infield hits. So he will not play in Angels baseball because he's lucky, right? If he's
unlucky. I'll take that luck every time.
Yes. And 100% of the people, well, 99% of people, but in the Angels organization, they go with unlucky players because he's hitting 230 because he's unlucky. He needs to play. What the heck, man? Seriously? So I ain't getting mad anymore, man. It's Monday. I love Mondays.
It's because you know why? It's a new week. Right?
It's a new week,
it's
man.
It's a new week.
You got to smile at
And
Mondays.
You get to go home and see your family. So, hey, thanks, my friend, for joining us, of course, on the M4BYYachty.com chair today instead of the hotline. Josh Potter, Art City Media, thanks for all you do. Real quick, one last time, what's the contest?
Networking contest here on Facebook. Go to Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook, like the Facebook page, and then go over to the community section on the right sidebar. Invite your friends. The more the friends, the more entries you got. If you have 100 friends that like the page, then you're going to have 100 entries into the contest. So, just go on there. You can share the page. Tell your friends to like it. And the more friends, the more entries you got there. And that'll end, what, July 27th when the Cubs come to town, Jimbo?
What's that? Yeah.
Jimbo?
Yes. Yeah. We did that only because if for some reason we could do something really cool with Benji being in town, we try to do it for a home series. You know, maybe we'll have somebody come sit in or do something like that. So be a really cool thing. A special thanks again to everybody at lineupmedia.fm for allowing us to be part of their growing network. Home now of Yo Radio. Go to the app store. It's absolutely free. Yo Radio. Download it. Leave them a great review. I know you'll love it. Again, everybody enjoys it. It's a great station. All the genre music, you got your decade, you got all the types of music that you would expect to have from a quality radio station. Check it out, Yo Radio. Our sponsors, thanks so much, guys. Mark Marcuso, Arlington Greens, of course, we bring it up all the time down at the down in Granite City, Illinois, right outside of Collinsville as well. Again, I always call it the hidden gem here in the Metro East. If you haven't played Arlington Greens or you haven't played it lately, get back over there. Mark and his staff have done an amazing job with Arlington Greens. Say hi to Mark Marcuso when you get in there. He's one of the best folks and a true guy's guy. Lots of fun, great to be around, and just an all-around tremendous human being. Thanks, Mark, for all you do for our show. Of course, Mike over at Adam Smokehouse, we can't say enough about the work that they do over there, cooking up some of the best barbecue you're going to have in the country, much less the area. Again, I can't say enough about the ribs over there on Watson Road. Go over there, check it out. Big Cardinal fans, big supporters of our show. We appreciate everything they do. They always take good care of us when we go in there. Again, for all of our listeners, when you get the opportunity, we love the pictures and the shout-outs on Twitter. Make sure you do that for us. We appreciate it greatly. Special thanks to them as well. Of course, Randy and Stephanie Green over at Innovative Companies, innovativecompanies.com, home to the heating and cooling team, the electric team, the construction team, and now the plumbing team. Don't forget, they've got every avenue covered for you in any of your needs, whether they be residential, commercial, or industrial. That's Randy Green, second-generation craftsman, a man of his word, more importantly. As he always says, he's talked to so many people after the fact. If you could have just gotten to him earlier, he could have helped you save money, time, energy, effort. Get Randy Green involved. The best part about this man is, once you guys get to talking, he's going to shake your hand and look you in the eye, and if he tells you he's going to do something, he does it. It's a lost thing these days, my friends. That's why you want Randy Green and his company, Innovative Companies, on your side. That's innovativecompanies.com. Special thanks to all our social media partners. Of course, Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com. Thanks so much for allowing us to be a part of the Rally Squirrel Club. To learn more about that, go to RallySquirrel.com. Be a part of the club for less than the price of a cup of coffee. That's RallySquirrel.com. Mick Light over at Art City Media, thank you so much for always sharing our show and helping us grow our fan base. It means a lot to us. Thanks for introducing us to Josh. He's been a godsend to the show. Thanks so much for all you do as well, Josh. Again, some of the great shows. Chris Lawless and Ron, great job on your new podcast, Cardinals 24/7. If you haven't checked out Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7, two great Facebook pages. They do an unbelievable job with their content and engaging listeners. There's so many good ones out there. Fans of Yachty or Molina, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, STL Cardinals, STL Cardinals Crew is a good one. I like that. And again, Cardinals fans versus Cardinals haters. Every week I try to find a new one and really check out their content. St. Louis Nation, STL Cardinal fans. I mean, there's great ones out there. Again, there's no limit to the amount of Cardinal conversation you can get into. Josh, you started a new one that highlights nothing but the Cardinal podcasts.
Yeah, it's Cardinals Podcast Network. I just wanted to get all the podcasts together on one page.
Blew you away how many there were, wasn't it?
18 right now. Yeah, that I have.
And growing.
Yeah, it's and growing. I'm still kind of looking out and seeing. I want to make sure that these podcasts are still up to date and, like, doing something relevantly at least once a month. But, you know, some guys don't have time, and it's understandable. So I just want to get the newer ones on there and make sure they're seen and getting out to the Cardinal Nation.
Great stuff as always, and again, special thanks to them as well. One last shout out to one of our, I guess you could call it our sister show, kind of. I know the Molina family are all big Blues fans. With all the action with the St. Louis Blues yesterday, special episode this morning put together with myself, obviously, kind of running the board here with Darren Kimball and Jamie Rivers in studio today to talk about the flurry of action involving your St. Louis Blues yesterday. That's one you're not going to want to miss. That's Blues NHL Podcast, also available through lineupmedia.fm. You may want to go listen to that one, as Jamie and Darren were in rare form today. Again, special thanks to everybody involved in the show, producers Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, and, of course, Steve-O's out of town, my friend Josh Potter from Art City Media, and everybody's favorite, again, in the m4byyachty.com chair, the one, the only, Benji Molina. Let's go, Birds!
Go, Birds!
Go, Birdo!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.